Let's open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah and chapter number 6 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 6. Lord willing, in the next few weeks, I want to preach on holiness. And we want to start with looking at the holiness of God. Holiness. Today, I want to look at the holiness of God in His character. The holiness of God in His character. Isaiah chapter number 6, if you would, stand with me. Isaiah chapter number 6. If you're not physically able to stand, that's all right. Isaiah 6, let's look in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Let us go back and look at verse number 3 again, please. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity. We thank You for those that have come to be in the house this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You would please help us, Lord. God, we need You. I'm thankful for the Spirit that is in the house this morning, a spirit of cheer, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can just take the Word of God and we can just enjoy it, Lord. May we be able to get a full picture this morning, or at least a bit of a picture of You, God. Help us, Lord, to see You today, Lord. Lord, as Isaiah did, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Isaiah, in this situation, is very interesting. We have been in this situation. You just may not fully comprehend it. What happened was, is the king had died. The leadership was now gone. What was going to happen to the nation of Israel? What was going to happen to them? Uzziah was an unbelievable king. You can read in 2 Chronicles in chapter number 26 all that Uzziah did. Uzziah was one that helped the nation with their finances. He helped the nation with their fortification and their fighting and their food sources. Uzziah was a great king. I'm sure that when it comes to the election time and when new leadership comes in, we all say, what's going to happen now? Maybe you voted for them and you're still unsure. Amen? What's going to happen now? New leadership comes in. What are they going to do? What are they going to change? What are they going to take away? What are they going to add? Isaiah is in this time period where Uzziah has died and he is wondering what is going to happen to the nation. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He was a preacher of the Word and he was a preacher by the Spirit of God. And I'm sure as a preacher, when a new leadership has come into the nation, he's saying, what's going to happen to me? Amen. What's going to happen to the Word of God? What's going to happen to us as we look to God? But what God does, God gives him a glimpse of something. God demonstrates to him something that is fact and it is by faith. God doesn't speak. We look in the Word here and we see that a seraphim a type of angel spoke, but we don't see any word that actually comes from God. But what we do see is that he was given a vision of himself. God gave a vision to Isaiah. You understand that the king, the leader, has died, and now Isaiah is given and revealed to him the real king, the true king, the only king. That's God himself, amen? In other words, one has come off the throne as far as it is concerned a nation, but one is still on the throne as is considered of all things, amen, hallelujah. He is called the Almighty. It doesn't matter who's in charge or who they think's in charge. God is in charge, amen. That's who's in charge, hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Isaiah may have said, Lord, now what? Lord, our great leader is dead. And God says, I'll show you what. I'll show you what. I'll reveal myself. When Isaiah sees him, he describes him as a king upon a throne. When he looks at him, he sees that his vesture, the Bible says his train, he had on a great vesture. He had great clothing on, and the clothing went all about in all of the hall where he was. This is a picture and showing of the power and wonderment of God. He fills the whole place up with all of himself. That's exciting. God is clothed, amen. He's clothed in purity. He's clothed in light. He's clothed in goodness. God is everything that is imaginable that is right, amen. It is how that he can call himself the Lord of righteousness, amen. We find here in the context as he is looking at him, Isaiah is looking at God. He describes him as a king. His vesture, all that he is, fills the whole place up. Then we see these seraphims. Now, there's not a lot of definition concerning seraphims. There's not a lot describing them other than they have six wings. It is interesting that they have six wings. That is also a picture of the Trinity. These are beings that God has created to, and they worship him. Notice that they covered their feet with some wings. They cover their feet. It's just like when Jesus knelt down and washed all the disciples' feet. It is a picture of sin. It is a picture that their feet are covered. They don't want the righteousness of God to see that they've been in the earth and walking in the earth. Their eyes are covered with their wings. They have covered their eyes because they cannot look on the holiness of God. They cannot look on the absolute purity of God. Understand what light in the Word of God is signifying. Light in the Word of God signifies purity. It signifies holiness. It signifies absolute right. That is God, amen. We find in the Scripture, we see right here, but then he had a set of wings that he was flying with. So he had wings covering his feet, he had wings covering his eyes, and then he's flying with wings. He's flying, and while he's flying, he's going all around this great king of God. He's flying around, and he is giving a description to Isaiah. He is giving a description to us. Holy, holy, holy. Again, that is a picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. He is being described, this king. He is being described by these seraphims that are worshiping him and letting everyone know that he is being worshiped. Holy, holy, holy. Get the scene in your mind. See the smoke that's filling the place. See God's clothing going all about and everything. See the throne and how great it is and how magnificent that God is. And these beings are flying all around him and crying out what God is. Holy, holy, holy. I want you to know that, number one this morning, the holiness of God and his character is his position. His position. He is the God King. Amen? He's the God King. He is literally the King of all things. You got to follow me now. Y'all ready? Follow me now. He is the King of the universe. Isaiah 48:13 says, God is speaking here. Mine hand has half laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. He is the king of the universe. Genesis 14, 22 shows that he is the king of the earth. I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the king of the universe. He is the king of earth. Amen. We also see that he is the king of angels. 1 Kings 22, 19. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. This is describing that he is king of these beings, these cherubims. He is king of seraphims. He is king of all those that are in glory right now. He is king of the universe. He is king of the earth. He is king of angels, and he's king of all animals. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine," this is the Lord speaking, "and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell it thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Everything that is filled throughout all the earth. Amen. People want to talk about evolution. Baloney. Amen. No such thing. Absolutely false. God has created all things. Amen. Created all kinds, and then they begin to create and change and so forth and so on, but it is not an evolving, it is the creation of God, and nothing has caught God by surprise. Do you know they are still finding animals in the jungles? Still finding, still discovering moths, still discovering birds, still discovering lizards and things like that. They have yet to see. God knew about it because he created it. Do you know the greatest unexplored thing that we have in the world? Do y'all know what it is? It's the sea. It's so deep, we can't even go down into the chasms. We can't even go down into the depths of it. There are things there that you would not believe. God knows about it, amen? He is the king of all things. He's the king of the universe. He's the king of earth. He's the king of angels. He's the king of animals, and he's the king of man. All of mankind. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and 15 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay." He said, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" "Nay." Notice what he says. "But as captain of the host of the Lord." He said, "I am the ruler." Captain, you look it up in the Hebrew. He said, "I am the ruler. I am the director. I am the head of all people." This is Jesus Christ incarnate come to stand before Joshua. Notice that Joshua, it says, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship." This is no mere angel. This is the Lord. He said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And Joshua did so. Does that remind you of another place in the Bible? Yeah. Moses is out there keeping his sheep, right? He's out there leaning on his staff one day. Probably about to fall asleep. All this is going on. He's hanging on his staff. And then all of a sudden he goes, "There's a bush over there burning. Look at that. It won't go out. It won't extinguish." He walks over there, and then all of a sudden he hears a voice out of it. And the voice says to him, "Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Amen? We see that he is in position of his holiness and God and his character, his position. He's king of the universe. He's king of the earth. He's king of the angels. He's king of the animals. He's king of man. But not only that, hold on. He's king of all the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 15 and verse number 3. "And they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Amen. How you become a saint? Well, there are some denominations that say it's a long process. You got to perform some kind of miracle. You got to do stuff for years and years and years to Then they'd sit down amongst themselves and they'd cast in their votes and decide whether you're a saint or not. Hallelujah. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Amen. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, hey, hi. He said, how you doing, saints? Amen. He spoke to other churches and said, hey, saints, I'm glad to see the saints that are there. If you're born again in Jesus Christ, amen, you are a saint. Hallelujah. Saint. Saint Russell. We don't need to start that. Amen. But I'm a saint. Hallelujah. And if you're born again, you are a saint. You are a child of God. And God is your king. And he's holy. He's holy. Let's turn to Psalms 104. Just in case you're unsure what he is king of. Psalms 104. It might help if I went the right way. Psalms 104. That's still before Isaiah had it. Psalms 104. Y'all ready for this? Psalms 104, we're talking about God, the holiness of God and his character. Number one, his position. His position is king over everything. Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O the Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Listen to that now. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. Who maketh the clouds of his chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Who maketh his angels, spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest with the deep as with a garment. The water stood about the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bond that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. But them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills. We're still talking about God now. Amen. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, and for the stork the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou markest darkness, it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, they lay them down in their dens. The man goeth forth into his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. We'll stop there, but I would encourage you to read the remainder of that psalm. You see all that God has done, you see all that God is doing. Understand that unlike what they teach you in science, unlike what they teach you is that there's this cycle. I understand seasons, and the Bible says that God created the seasons. But understand that creation wasn't just spoken, and then God said, okay, do your thing. God is still involved, amen. He's still still doing things in creation, amen. He is still involved in children. He is still involved in things being born. He's still involved in flowers coming to life and blooming. He's still involved in producing fruit, amen. God is still involved in this world. And he's still involved in every one of your lives this morning. The King of all things. And he's holy. Amen. He's holy. I want you to know this morning that Revelation 19:16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The word Lord here is Master. Lord, Master of Masters. There is no one that is above God, and we must have him. We, as sinners, must have God. We must have the King of glory in us. We've got to have Jesus Christ. We've got to have the God that Isaiah saw, because He is holy. Can we comprehend this day what the Scripture is reporting? What Isaiah is revealing to us is that the Lord, may I say it again, holy, holy, holy. The word holy is a word that signifies separation. It signifies sacred, hallowed. What is the famous prayer that is said? Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. It is sacred. It is separated. It is consecrated. God and His eminence. God and His loftiness. No one is above God for many factors. But one factor is His holiness cannot be achieved. You cannot achieve holiness outside of God. Yes, you can do good. Yes, you can be good. Yes, you can do good things. You can love, you can be obedient, and you can rule well. But you cannot, without the touch of God, be holy. You cannot sanctify yourself, because you first must be justified. You stand before the judge unjust. You stand before the judge with sin hung on your life. You stand before the judge full and carrying a weight that you cannot put off. And the only way that you can have it off is that you be justified, that you be claimed and pardoned and exonerated and said that you can go as a free person. The only way that's going to happen is if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're born again and you have Christ Jesus in your life, you're justified, and then you are partly become sanctified. You are already separated. You are already a child of God. But listen to me carefully now. You cannot do it yourself. Holiness, sacredness, the purest form of sanctification and separation belongs to the Lord. It is because God is the embodiment of all truth that makes Him holy. He is all things right, righteous, perfectly just. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Amen? Understand that as a child of God, understand that as a child of God, we even ourselves must live to His holiness. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a man of God. And Isaiah saw Him and said, woe is I, when he saw how perfect God was. The holiness of the Lord, the truthfulness of God came to Isaiah's eyes. The justness of God, the pure kindness of God, the unmerited integrity of love of God, the boundless, uncontaminated mercifulness. He saw that he fell short of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's included as believers. We fall short of what God is. Everybody with me now? I'm going to close. I got 2 points. And we're going to close. The number one was position. Notice the position. Number two, the place of God. The abode of God, number one, is heaven. This is actually the place where God is, what was real to Isaiah, heaven. The temple is in semblance to heaven. The temple, you read about the temple in the Word of God. This is where they worship God. This is where they sacrifice to God. This is where God pardoned their sin. The holy place, as it was called, is where the priest went into. He was the only one allowed into the holy place. The temple, as large it was, people came into the courts. People came and they saw everything. But when the priest went inside, the priest had on special garments. He had on special clothing. And it's an interesting dress that he had on. He had this thing called a mitre. It was basically like a turban. It was a cloth, and he had to wrap it around his head. Then he had to put this gold plate over his head. It says, the Lord is holiness. He had to take every bit of that off and set it to the side. All of it came off. And he had the blood. And he went into the holy place behind the curtain. And he took the blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And God would come down in his glory and his holiness and receive the sacrifice or not receive the sacrifice. Then the priest, when it was received, he came out of the holies and he had to dress all over again. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of Christ as Christ is on Calvary. He's been stripped of his vesture, and he is sitting there on the cross, his arms spread out, his blood pouring out, and his blood is being captured, if you will, by the Holy Ghost of God. Notice that when he was resurrected, when he came to life, and Mary came, she said, Lord, he said, touch me not. He said, don't touch me. He said, I haven't ascended to my Father. He still had to perform the duties of the priest. And as he goes, and he goes there, he puts his blood in the mercy seat of heaven. And God says, it's the best. We don't need to do this anymore. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, then you're in the family of God. But then comes our continuance of holiness. Amen? Heaven is the place of God. Heaven is a holy place. It is a sacred, separated, and sanctified place. And it's a place that God will allow no sin. No sin. No man will enter in unless he has the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed and cleansed his soul. The second place of God is the manifest presence. Why is it when we pray, we say, come to me, Lord. Come and be with us, Lord. Come into this house. Because God is everywhere, is he not? But the reason we're saying that is because we don't feel the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God is the holiness of God. The separation is due because of sin in our life or the lack of fellowship that we've had with God. We're not praying, we're not in our Bibles, we're not kneeling before God, we're not giving all of ourselves in worship to God, we're not in every with the Bible studies, we're not in the house of God, we are lacking in these areas, and so they create separation. And when we do feel it, we do feel the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I have been in prayer, I have been in my Word, I have been under preaching, and I could feel the Spirit of God. And it was so moving, it was so powerful, that you didn't want it to go away. But sin in even the believer's life causes it to dissipate. God is always there, but the manifest presence, you're in his holiness. You follow me? Ezekiel felt it. Isaiah felt it. Ezekiel felt it when he saw the clouds folding and moving and the power and the lightning. Moses felt it when he came off the mountain. He was glowing and shining before everyone. They had to put a veil on him. Joshua felt it in the scripture I read. When he saw this one, he said, nay, I am captain of the Lord of hosts. And he fell down before him. The three disciples fell. They felt it when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus Christ, and they wanted to build statues because it was so powerful. Mary felt it when she broke the alabaster box over him. She didn't care who else was in the room. She didn't care how much she spent. She felt the manifest presence. She felt the holiness of God when she did this work on Jesus Christ. The people at the cross felt it when it fell dark and the moving of the earth began to take place. And then the sun was coming back out. They could hear his words. They felt it there. They felt it in the upper room when Jesus appeared and the door was locked. Manifest presence. The resurrection felt it. People were coming out of the grave when Jesus was resurrected. The third thing is the place of God is in heaven. The place of God is a manifest presence, and the place of God is within the believer. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 10. Turn there real quickly now. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10. The holiness of God and his character. It is his position as king. It is his place, heaven, manifest presence, and within the believer. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10, notice what it says. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. 1 John, you can also write down Galatians 2:20. Many of you probably know that verse by heart. Galatians 2:20 says, not I, but Christ that liveth within me 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 24. For those of you that come on Sunday night, your Bibles should just immediately open to 1 John. Amen. We were in it for a little bit, but praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24. The Bible says, chapter 3, verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So we're in him, and he's in us. Y'all follow that? And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. His holiness. If you're born again, his holiness is in you. And lastly, this morning, in the holiness of God's character, it is in his pronouncement. Live to your Lord. Live to God. We don't have time to turn there, but you know many of these scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore to all nations and preach the gospel. Mark 16 says, go and preach the gospel. Let's turn to Colossians in chapter number 1. Colossians in chapter number 1. I want you to understand the holiness in his pronouncement. It is to live to your Lord. It is to dedicate yourself to God. It is to follow after all that he is, not what you make up in your mind of what you should be, but is to follow after all that he is. We are to mimic and be imitators of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 28. And we'll close right here. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Sinners need holiness. Believers need to grow in holiness. They will not have it unless they are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will not have it as a believer unless you plead in the blood of Jesus Christ and separate yourself from sin. The holiness of God and his character is in his position. He's king over all. The holiness of God and is his place. There were three things I showed you there. The holiness of God and his character is in his pronouncement. For sinners and believers to live to holiness. Let's stand for prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We ask of you. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. God, as Isaiah, Lord, when faced with the word, when faced with the vision of you, God, it makes me feel woeful about myself. Lord, I need your help. Lord, even as a preacher, as a called preacher, God, I need you, Lord, and I know that I need to sanctify myself and I need to separate myself in a greater way. I need to do that for your glory, God. I need to do that for your name, God. Help us, Lord. Lord, let us see you holy. Holy, holy. Heads bowed and eyes closed.